morning, everybody. Thanks for coming here and listening to me talk. My name is Matt Cavanaugh, and I'll be presenting today on conversion of Kentucky bluegrass rough to no-mow low-input grasses. And I say rough because my frame of mind is primarily the golf course setting, so keep that in mind that most of this will revolve around a golf course. So Kentucky bluegrass requires large inputs of water, fertilizer, pesticides, and also maintenance such as mowing. So conversion should, when you convert from Kentucky bluegrass to no-mow low-input grasses, it should reduce those inputs. And while reducing those inputs, it should also provide an aesthetic value such as nice, gently waving seed heads like the picture below. And also that stand should be fairly weed-free. And also keeping in mind that it is a golf course and these areas should be playable. Golfers can be fairly temperamental when their ball goes awry and they're trying to search for it, and once they do find it, it may not be playable. It could get ugly. But also, people might be thinking I'm picking on Kentucky bluegrass, but it does provide an opportunity for conversion. I've highlighted bluegrass there, and roughly 43% of the United States golf courses are established with Kentucky bluegrass rough. And then primarily my main concern, the North Central region, 63% of golf courses are planted with Kentucky bluegrass rough. So logically, you're not going to convert your whole rough to no-mow low-input grasses, but each golf course, there are areas that there's potential for these grasses to be implemented. So the objectives of this study are to compare several methods of converting Kentucky bluegrass rough to no-mow low-input grasses. And then the second objective is then to determine the best turf grass species for use in these converted areas. The study was set up as a randomized complete block design and will be analyzed as a two-way factorial with conversion method and turf grass species used as the two treatments. There were two locations, St. Paul, Minnesota and Maple Grove, Minnesota, and they were replicated four times at each location. And they were also established twice in the fall of 2007 and 2008 with data collection coming the following growing season, which would be 2008 and 2009. So to give you an idea of what I'm actually talking about, here's a nice picture of what the treatment actually looks like, what the layout looks like. But just keep in mind that put yourself in my shoes doing data collection. I often heard four about every 3 or 4 minutes as I was collecting data down there, so it could potentially be hazardous doing research out on a golf course, but I usually got lots of questions as they were going from tee to green. Look at some what the actual conversion methods look like. In the upper left-hand corner, we'll start with the seed glyphosate treatment. As you can see, it was an actively growing stand. The area was aerified and then seeded. 5 days after seeding, glyphosate was applied to the area at label rates. Moving to the right, fumigation treatment. The area was aerified and the soil fumigant basmid was applied to the area at label recommendations and watered in. After it was watered in, they were covered with a 1 millimeter clear plastic for 7 days. And then after that 7 day period of being covered, the covers were removed and allowed to air out for 7 days. And so after that 14 day span, they were then seeded. Moving to the lower right, the sod removal treatment, pretty self-explanatory. The existing turf was removed and then tilled to a depth of 2 to 3 inches, and then it was seeded. And in the lower left, the glyphosate treatment. The glyphosate was applied at label rates to the area. 7 days after the glyphosate application, the areas were aerified and then seeded. There are 5 turf grass species chosen: chewing's fescue, hard fescue, sheep's fescue, strong creeping red fescue, and then tufted hair grass. And these species were selected for a couple of reasons, but mainly for their drought tolerance and also their low nutrient requirements. But also, we have to think about aesthetic value in a golf course setting, and these have proven to possibly be fairly aesthetically pleasing in a golf course setting. Some seeding rates for these, I just want to point out that all the fescues were seeded at the same rate. We used more of a home lawn recommendation, which is about 3.5 pounds per 1,000 square foot. And then the tufted hair grass was about 1 pound per 1,000 square feet. Initial plot maintenance, immediately after seeding, a starter fertilizer was used. And then through that first fall of establishment, they were adequate irrigation was maintained to increase germination and also to provide an adequate stand. And then late fall, application of an N source, a nitrogen source, was applied. But then throughout that next growing season, no irrigation, fertilizer, or pesticides were used at all, and they were only mowed once at the end of the season prior to the first snowfall. And those clippings were collected from those areas and removed. So during those growing season, it is pretty much the definition of low maintenance, maybe even lazy. Data collection, it was initially based on how the stands were establishing. So desirable species counts, broadleaf or Kentucky bluegrass counts, and broadleaf weed counts were taken just to see how that stand was establishing. But then it transitioned to more of quality ratings with seed head counts, which is definitely an aesthetic value, biomass collections, which could be a playability, and then it moved into stand quality, which I used a 1-9 rating, NTEP guidelines. And so I looked at overall stand quality, which took into account lodging, broadleaf weed invasion, and Kentucky bluegrass regrowth, and then also a rust rating was taken. So there are obviously no treatment is going to be perfect in most studies, and there are some issues that arise. As you can see here, broadleaf weed invasion can possibly be a problem. Just imagine trying to find a golf ball in that. You're probably going to run into a few thistles and get stung by a few bees on your way out. So we want to try to avoid this. But also, Kentucky bluegrass regrowth is definitely a major concern. Regrowing from stolons, and then also possibly treatment didn't provide enough kill, and it just regerminated or regrew from that plant itself. So this is obviously not the goal of conversion, is to have Kentucky bluegrass again. But also lodging is definitely an issue. You can see here that aesthetically is not very pleasing, and also playability wise is not very good. And I would assume that you'd probably break your wrist if you tried to hit out of that stuff, or even if you could even find it. So we want to try to avoid this as well. So analysis of variance, I took out some key issues or some neat points that I found in the data, and we'll look at some wet biomass, stand quality, lodging, and broadleaf weed invasion in these next few slides. And this wet biomass, or the weight of the plant material itself immediately after cutting, was taken, and the data was pooled because both establishment year and locations were deemed to be the same. And I used an LS means to do a mean separation, and what I want to highlight here is just how much more biomass the fumigation treatment had compared to any of the other treatments. Most of them were incredibly thick and probably unplayable. But also notice the last column, the seed glyphosate treatment. Those areas, the biomass in those areas was relatively low, and that conversion method just didn't take as well. They were very thin. The desirable species wasn't nearly as high, and there was just a lot more thin Kentucky bluegrass and broadleaf weeds in those areas. Here we're looking at stand quality, and it's a little bit bigger chart because establishment year and location were significantly different, so I had to run all the data separately. And again, I used LS means, but I've highlighted, just make note of that HD, the hard fescue. It commonly came up as the best performing species with each treatment. And even though some of them might be kind of low, it still rose above some of the other turf grasses on a visual stand quality rating. And lodging, again, I've highlighted hard fescue. It was consistently the species that lodged the less. So again, higher aesthetic value, more playability in these areas compared to some of the other turf grass species for each fumigation treatment. And then broadleaf weed invasion. This one's pretty interesting. Chewing's fescue came up a lot as being able to resist broadleaf weeds a little bit better than some of the other ones. And although the research doesn't really get into this too much, allelopathic effects from chewing's fescue itself should definitely be thought about when thinking why broadleaf weeds possibly did not enter these areas as much as some of the other cultivars and species. So really in conclusion, I've highlighted some key issues that I've seen. Hard fescue and the glyphosate treatment really did provide probably the best overall stand. There was less lodging, which increases playability and a higher aesthetic value, but also the cost with using just glyphosate is a lot lower than some of these other treatments. And I've highlighted again chewing's fescue with its possible allelopathic effects, reducing broadleaf weed invasion. Could be a species that people will want to look at. They may not be interested in playability initially. They may be more interested in, you know, reducing that broadleaf weed invasion initially. So chewing's fescue, people might want to use that instead. Fumigation treatment, it did great, obviously, at reducing broadleaf weed invasion and Kentucky bluegrass regrowth. It was amazing. Those areas were usually spotless. However, the high biomass could be a problem. But also, I've highlighted the cost of bassement itself is roughly $2,100 per acre, which many golf courses, they're not going to say that. That's not low input. That initial cost is pretty ridiculous. But it could still be a viable situation and smaller settings. And also I want to note that tufted hair grass is really not recommended. It was low growing. I don't think I saw a single seed stock or inflorescence at all during the 2 years. So aesthetically, it's not very pleasing. It was a little bit thinner. Broadleaf weeds are pretty terrible in these areas. But also towards the end of the season, rust became an issue. So golfers would be walking through that. Their nice white golf shoes would get dirty and turn orange, and you get complaints in the golf shop. Future research should probably look at seeding rates. I think the seeding rates are probably a little high in this study. But also alternative methods for seeding. You could possibly split seed as an alternative. And also other methods for conversion should probably be looked at. But also broadleaf weed and Kentucky bluegrass regrowth, what are we going to do about that? Possible research into that should be looked at. But then also long-term maintenance. Should we fertilize these areas? Should we irrigate them a little bit to possibly promote seeding in the spring? Do you collect the clippings? Do you burn it? There's a lot of questions as far as long-term maintenance to keep these areas going and viable. So I'd just like to acknowledge the Minnesota Golf Course Superintendents Association for funding and their support, but also Rush Creek Golf Club for putting up with some areas that at times looked pretty brutal and golfers wondered why I was growing weeds, so I'd like to thank them. At this time, I'd like to take any questions. Thank you.
Time for about two questions.
What variety of hard fescue did you use?
Variety of hard fescue was the question, and it was Minotaur hard fescue. Yes?
You made a point about Kentucky bluegrass and invasion there, and regrowth. What do you think is going to happen with that Kentucky bluegrass over a longer term? Say 5 years.
Yep, the question was what will happen to that Kentucky bluegrass regrowth possibly over 5 years or a longer period. What I saw just in the short time was that the lack of irrigation, the bluegrass generally thinned out. It couldn't survive that lower maintenance, remedies that are in those areas. So first year it did okay, but that second year it really started to thin out. So I would expect it to thin out over the years. That's what I've seen so far. Got one more in back?
Yeah, one more.
Why wouldn't you consider mixing the hard and the chewings together?
Future research, the question was why wouldn't I consider mixing the hard and the chewings fescue? I wanted to analyze just the species by themselves initially, and future research could possibly look at mixtures and blends. Yep.
Okay, let's give Matt a hand.